1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to read verse 1 and verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 and verse 2. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you this morning, first of all, for giving us a day that we might live and serve you. Then I want to thank you for this time that we can come together and assemble as a New Testament church, that, Lord, we might worship you in truth and in spirit. I pray now, Father, that as we've come this morning, that you would have already blessed our hearts through the singing and praying and teaching. But now, Lord, you'd be pleased to bless us again by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God as the sword. We pray that you may this morning open our hearts and our understanding, that you would guide us and direct us and lead us and give us, Lord, these truths that you would have us to have, that we might put them into practice in our lives. Father, we pray for these that prayer has been requested for. We have several that are sick. We pray, Father, that you especially would be pleased by your, according to your will, to restore their health and give them the strength and the grace that they need for such a time. We pray for these that there's been death in their family. And Father, we pray for those that are sin sick this morning that are without a Savior. We pray, Lord, that you may be pleased this morning to open the heart of some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Grant to them repentance and faith, and that they'd come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We do thank thee for this church, for planting us here, Lord, and placing us here that we might come together, that we might worship you. And then, Father, we pray for our service tonight, that you'd especially bless Brother Kittle as he comes to preach, bless the fellowship that follows. And we are mindful of our meeting, which is October the 4th through the 10th. We pray already that you're blessing Brother Jones and prepare our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive the word that you have for us through this, your messenger, during that time. Pray for both of our missionary families. You'd bless them. Pray you'd give them the grace and the strength that they need for these days in which that we live. Now we ask that you'd guide, direct, and lead. Pray you'd forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. If you'll notice here in this writing, when Paul was writing the church at Corinth and he was talking to these Corinthians, he uses the word able here at least two times here in verse 2, and he talked about how that he'd fed them with milk meant that he had preached to them the plain truths of God's word that you begin with, which is salvation, being saved, you know, by grace, the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the truths that people need to hear in order to be saved. And even after they're saved, you never get tired of hearing the truths of salvation, of how to be saved, even though you're saved by the grace of God. But then, as you grow, you must hear other truths that are found in the Word of God. And sometimes the expression was used of the doctrines or truths of God's Word as some are as milk, and then others as meat. And he said here in this, he's speaking unto them, And when you are saved by the grace of God, then immediately you need to begin to grow, that you might grow into a mature Christian, or that is a perfect Christian, that is one that's matured in the things of God. And you don't need to remain a babe all your life, or a baby all your life. I've said this through the years, that when you see a young baby and it's not growing like it ought to, you know, everybody becomes concerned. I do, and I think other people do too. Well, we ought to be just as concerned when somebody's saved by the grace of God and they don't begin to grow spiritually. We ought to be just as concerned. And Paul was here and he said, even as babes in Christ, and he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. In other words, it would be strong for them, and they would not be able to take or to receive these teachings that they needed in order to grow. And he says, neither yet now are you able. Now, there's a word that we use a lot, and I believe that Baptists through the years have really held on to, and it is a great truth, and that is the truth of man is totally depraved. Now, when we say that man is totally depraved, it doesn't mean that man doesn't have any ability at all, because men, even in total depravity, have ability as far as the natural is concerned. But what we're talking about in that is in the spiritual, or in things that pertain unto God and unto God's Word. And man is totally depraved in that sense. And so sometimes I wonder if we should not use the words inability, or how, or he does not have the ability. That is, while he is in that depravity away from God, he does not have any ability whatsoever pertaining to things of God and to the truths of God and the Word of God. That is, when he's not saved. But then sometimes, you know, then after we are saved, he said, and now you're not able. And so I believe that we need to recognize who it is that enables us. We need to recognize, how are we able to receive the things of God? There are so many things, and I believe, and of course, to be able means to have the ability to perform or to complete an act. We must understand the ability to perform a task, whether physical or spiritual, comes from God. We've got to understand that. And so, before a person is saved, they're not able to save themselves. It takes the work of God. And then, after a person is saved, they're not able to grow. It takes also a work of God. And it takes the Word of God, and it takes the grace of God. And so we need to understand that being able to do anything, whether it's natural or whether it's spiritual, is with God. And we are dependent upon God after we are saved, just as much as before that we were saved. And we never get to the place to where we're not dependent upon Him. And we need to recognize that. There are some things we are able to do. And these things God enables us to do, and there are some things that we are not able to do. Now, I don't believe there should be any question at all as to far as God's ability. Now, God is able. I'm preaching on the radio today about God's infinite ability, about His power, and the only thing that limits God's power or God's ability is His will or His purpose. But everything that He wills and purpose, God's able to do. And not only able to do, God does. And we need to recognize that. So the inability is not with God. God is able. And we need to bring that to our hearts and to our minds. I reckon, I thought about what he was saying over in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. And when he's talking about, you know, being able to graft in, listen to what he says in the 11th chapter of Romans, and there in verse 23, when he was talking about the natural branches, and of course what he is talking about here is the nation of Israel, the Jews and the Gentiles, is what that he has in mind. And that not only is there going to be some Jews saved, but there's also going to be some Gentiles saved. And listen to what he says in verse 23 of Romans 11. He said, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in." Now look, how in the world are they going to be grafted in? This is something that we understand. I always thought it was the most amazing thing how you could take a peach tree and grow apples. And what you do, you just take the limbs of a peach tree and you split it and you graft in an apple branch. And what you have then, you get peaches and apples off the same tree. Now, you're able to do that. But you're not able to do the kind of grafting that he's talking about here. And what he's talking about is in the turn of the Jews and the Gentiles. But here in verse 23 he said, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again." He's talking about the Jews, how they turned against God and they turned their backs upon God, and how that now he has gone to the Gentiles, but how that the Jews again, God is going to graft them in. And so there should be no question at all as to that God is able. And that should be first and foremost in our minds. I thought about, you know, what the Lord said in the book of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9. And this is an amazing thing for when he was talking about here repentance and the preaching of John, and when John was preaching and what he said here, and how that he brought this out in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 9. And you know, it says, and it talks about this of John in verse 4. And then if you look in 7, he talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he calls them, "O generation of vipers." And he tells them in verse 8 to bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And then look what he says in verse 9. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you," now he knew the ability of God and he knew what God was able to do. He said, "I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And so John knew that God was able and to raise up from these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Nobody else could do that or even imagine or think about it, but God's able. And we must recognize that God is able. But one of the most wonderful truths that it is, and you know, sometimes people picture God as helpless. Did you know there's a lot of religions today that picture God as not being able to do something unless you help him? And you know, even they came with this these words, "Help God." Well, that's a mockery. Don't you imagine God looks down and says, "Well, you little puny grasshopper." That's what God does. Yeah, help God. Nobody helped God create the heavens and the earth. Nobody helps him sustain them. And he sustains them by the word of his power. And you could just go right on down through the Bible and name thing after thing. And I think about, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? In the book of Romans, when he uses the term of the potter and the clay, and so some say, help God. You can't help God. God don't need no help. God is able and God is working. And that's exactly what we've got to understand and what we've got to come to realize, that our dependence is not upon ourselves, but our dependence is upon God. And that God is able. Now, he's able to save. Hebrews chapter 7. If you'll notice in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, a real familiar verse of Scripture, and it says in this verse, Hebrews 7, 25, wherefore he, that is, God is able also to save them, now notice, to the uttermost that come unto God by him, that is, by Jesus Christ, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, who's able to save? Man's not able to save himself. Now, I'll tell you who was the first fellow that tried that. It was Cain. Cain was the first fellow that tried it. Well, really, it went back to their parents, Adam and Eve, when they sowed those fig leaves. That was yet the first effort that made. And ever since that, there has been a religious group in this world that is trying to save themselves, and they're trying to help God. And they're doing neither. They're not saving themselves, and they're not helping God. But then there has been another group that God has saved. And so we see here that Hebrews 7:25 brings this out, that he is able to save to the uttermost. In other words, there is not anyone too hard for God to save. And so, but he's not only able to save to the uttermost, but after that we are saved to the uttermost, then he is able to make stand. In Romans 14, and there in verse 4, it says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, what I'm thankful for is this God that is able to save, is able to make us stand, and he is also the God that is able to keep us saved. Now, here's what it boils down to. Man is not able to save himself. He's not able to stand alone. He is not able to keep himself saved. This is a work, and this is with the power of God. I thought about this verse. Go over to the book of Jude. I could say chapter 1, because that's all there is in it. Jude. And go and look with me in verse 24 and verse 25 of Jude, and notice what it is saying here in this passage of Scripture. He gives us a great truth about that God is able. Now look what he says in Jude here in verse 24. Now unto him, now who is that that's able? God is able. Now unto him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. And not only to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless. There's two F's there. Falling and faultless. Now you can't keep yourself from falling, and you can't present yourself faultless. Because you're like me. You are your descendant Adam. And so our keeping is with our savings with God, our standings with God, and our keepings with God, and presenting us faultless is with God. Because when he presents us, he's not going to present me as me, but he's going to present me in Jesus Christ. Amen. what Jesus Christ has done for me.
Now, I'm not able to do that. I don't have the ability to do that.
But God is able, and God is going to do that. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now we're going to be in the presence of his glory. It's going to be an exceeding joyful time. And the reason for it, he has kept us from falling and he is presenting us faultless. Now, he's going to be happy. The angels are going to be happy, and we're going to be happy. But I got a little jump on it. I'm happy already because of this truth. I'm not going to have to wait till I get there to be happy. I'm happy now. But I'm not as happy as I will be, because this is what he says here in this verse, before the presence of his glory. And that'll be the happiest time of all. And so we see here with exceeding joy, and then he says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. And how thankful that I am that God is able. Well, now, he's able to save. He's able to keep us standing. He's able to keep us from falling. He will. He's able and he will. And when I say able, I mean he has saved us. He is keeping our standing. He is, of course, keeping us from falling. And he's going to present us faultless one day. But then we find that what about we ain't there yet? Now I can go back and rejoice in the day that God saved me. I can rejoice in these truths that we have here. And really, these truths are what causes people to rejoice. That there is salvation and safety and security, as I preach other Sunday, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, even now, he's able to make all grace abound toward us. 2 Corinthians, if you'll go there, and in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, and we find Paul's writing, and he says in 2 Corinthians 9 and in verse 8, he brings this out. Now look what he says here in this passage of Scripture. He says, and God is able, now what? To make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now that's a great truth. And as I said this morning in teaching in Sunday school class, when Paul was talking about the Philippians sending to his necessities, you've got to remember that many times the Apostle Paul, when he penned these great truths and words by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had only the necessities of life. He did not have anything to hold him back or to drag him down. But we do. We do. Many times what we have don't make us closer to the Lord. It drives us farther away. And it really keeps us from serving the Lord. But we know that God is good to us, and that most of all, that God is not only has saved us and not only keeps us from falling, but he also is able, and he does make all grace abound to us. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. But then we find that he is able to even do more than that. You say, well, how could he do more? You say, he's already saved me. He already sustains me. He already keeps me going. He already keeps me from falling. And I do know that one day that he is going to present me faultless before his glory and the presence of his angel. He's going to do that. And I already know now that he gives me grace every day to live. Well, look with what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3. And look what he said there in Ephesians chapter 3. And we find in verse 20. Now you think about this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Now notice, above all that we ask. Here's where we fail. We have not because we ask not. I mean, toward the things of God and the things of God. We have not because we ask not. And many times what we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lusts. But he says here that he is unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. And then he said, or think. We don't even think of it. We ought to start our thinkers to thinking about the things of God and about the spiritual things. He said, according to the power that worketh in us. And how that we ought to rejoice. And that power that worketh in us is God is able. Now that's the power that worketh in us. It is not that we're able, but God is able. And God working in us enables us that we might do some things. And we need to recognize that and to give the honor and the credit and the glory to God. You know, I thought about this and I thought about the creation. God is able to make it, to create it. He's able to sustain it. And then he's able to destroy it. And he does all three. God is able, and he does bring us into this life. He keeps us in this life. And then when this life is to be over, then he takes us out of this life. Now who does that? God does it. And God is able. I thought about and this verse always comes to my mind, Matthew chapter 20. And this always comes, or 10. In Matthew chapter 10 is what it is, not 20, but it's 10. And there in verse 28, this verse always comes to my mind when I'm thinking about this, the ability of God and what God is able to do and how that sometimes, you know, men are so fearful today of one another, and we are living in a fearful time in that way. But there is someone that we ought to fear more than man. And look what he says here in Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able. You see, there's some things men are not able to do. They can kill the body, but they're not able kill the soul. Soul of man never dies. Now the body of man dies, but the soul of man never dies. Whether it's in hell or whether it's in heaven, the soul of man never dies. But look, but rather fear him which is able. Now who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell? And so I believe that we see that there are some things here that God is able to do, and God is not only able to do, but God is doing. And I believe that we ought to recognize here this morning, if there's somebody here and not saved, if it's God's will and purpose, God's able to save them. And God's not only able to save them, it's the will and purpose, God will save them by his marvelous grace. And we ought to rejoice in that truth. I'll tell you, here's how it is. And I believe almost everybody will acknowledge this. If they'll just take the scriptures, I don't care what they've been taught, whether it's false or what they've been taught, if they'll just take the scriptures for face value and acknowledge these, and that's John chapter 6, verse 37, verse 44, and verse 65. And I want you to turn there, John chapter 6, verse 37. And I want you to see, now this is Jesus speaking himself, and these are wonderful truths that are found here. And this brings us to this thing that God is able to save. Now, man is not able to save himself. Now, here's what man gets into by himself. He gets into reformation. You know, he says, well, I'll quit this and I'll quit that. And I'll do this and I'll do that. Now, that's what man tries to do himself. Sometimes he does it. But see, that's not where salvation is. And that's what man gets. But look here in John 6:37, and Jesus said this. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now here's one thing about it. To be saved, you've got to go to the Father. Now, how do you get to the Father? What's the way to the Father? Now, hold your place there in John 6:37 and look at John chapter 14 and verse 6. Now, here's the way to the Father. "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." But how are you going to come or go to the Father? And Jesus made it clear in John 14:6, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that is Jesus Christ. All right. Now, you to be saved, you've got to be able to go to God. And to be able to go to God, there's got to be a way to get to God. And the way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. But how can you go through Jesus Christ to God? Well, turn back to the 6th chapter. And look at these two verses with me in the 6th chapter and verse 44. And look, he says, "No man can come to me," and that's Jesus Christ, "except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, to be saved, you got to go to God, and the way to God is through Jesus Christ, and you can't go to the Father through Jesus Christ except the Father which has sent me draw him. And that is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that works in us and brings us to the place of where that we see ourselves a sinner and see ourselves doomed in hell. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us and brings us to God. It is the Holy Spirit. For look what he said there in verse 44. "No man can come to me." That means cannot come. No man of himself cannot come. It is impossible for man to approach God, to go to God. No man of himself can come to God except, look, "except the Father which has sent me draw him." And you know all that is? It's Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. That's all that is. The work of the Holy Spirit. There ain't nobody ever been saved or ever went to God except the Holy Spirit drew. There's a lot involved in it, folks. You all know. If you've been saved with the grace of God, you know how the Holy Spirit worked in you, convicted you, and convinced you. And there was it felt like there was a magnet pulling you. And it was, in a sense. It was. It was the Holy Spirit drawing. But now look at it. And he repeats this verse again because this is an important truth. Now we're talking about that God is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. And now you'll see here at verse 65. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you," now look, "that no man can come to me." Now look at this. And I underline these words, I underline these four words, "except it were given unto him of my Father." So, if it's not given, you can't come. But thank God it is given. Thank God the Holy Spirit does work upon it. And thank God when the Holy Spirit does, you do come. And you come to Jesus Christ and go to the Father, and you're saved by the grace of God. Yes. God is able. Now, now I just read you scripture. I read you the word. I'm preaching you the word of God. I ain't preaching what I think or what somebody else has said. I'm just preaching you what the Bible says. And that's the way it is. Start with saying, "Now, I think it's like this." I ain't said that. I just told you. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And then I just read you where he said here that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And what that happens is when when it is given unto you to come to Jesus Christ, it is through repentance and faith. That you have an experience of grace. We call it an experience of grace. And what we mean by experience of grace, it is, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, who's able? Who's able in all this? God's able. God's able to save you this morning. Now, there's those here that have told me with your mouth, and that I know that you are not saved. And you need to be saved. But you can't save yourself. And I'm praying that God will give you the ability to repent of your sins and to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, fear not him that is able to destroy the body, but fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Yes, if you're not saved. There's a lot of other things now that I don't have time to go into this morning. But see, then and then only, after that he saved you by his grace, then are you able to do other things. Well, you got Greeks, 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But then see, when you're saved by the grace of God, then you can receive the things of God. And God gives you the ability to receive the truths of God's Word, put them in your heart, put them in your life, and put them into practice. If you're not saved this morning, I'm asking God, if it would please him, to save you. If it would please him. I feel that. And I realize and I know, and I'm not just asking you to do something, but if God is dealing with you through the work of the Holy Spirit, if he is convicting you of your sins, if he is revealing to you that you're a sinner, and he is revealing to you that Jesus Christ is your Savior, enabling you that you might repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ. If he is doing that in you this morning, then let this church know what God is doing. He is bringing salvation.